about what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in us, and find your, so you can find and discover your role and your purpose. How many of you believe that you have gifts given by God? How many of you, honestly? Okay, everybody feels that they have a gift, or most people. I didn't see every hand go up, so most people, and I won't point you out, but you have gifts. Now, how many of you think that, not by the show of hands, but how many of you feel or think that God is interested in your gift? That's not really necessarily true. He's not interested in your gift. Did I see some hands go up? Okay. He's a lot of people have gifts, but they're not available. He's not interested in your gifts and your talents, but he's interested in your availability. Many people have gifts and talents that God placed in the body of Christ for a specific reason, but they don't explore or begin to share their talents or gifts. They keep it to themselves. And basically, most of them do that because they don't understand their role in the church. Now, I've seen it, and I've come up in this thing that most people think that, hey, you join the church and you sit down and you just wait and hope that the pastor will come to you and ask you to do something. That's not the case. Hello, somebody. The church, God is interested in a body that will make itself available for the purpose of God. He's interested in a body. As I said, many of us have talents. We know people with great talents, but they're not available. We know people with great gifts, but they're not available. So God is not interested in the talent. He's interested in your availability. Are you available when God needs you? Are you available to do what God wants you to do? And when, matter of fact, he can take somebody that is virtually giftless. And I don't think anybody's like that. But if that person makes themselves available, God will begin to cause that person to explore and discover talents and abilities they've never thought that they had. I know a woman, she's a pastor right now. She could not sing a lick. I mean, literally couldn't sing. But she just kept getting up singing and singing and singing to the glory of God. And now, if you've ever heard this woman, she sings so beautifully under the anointing. I mean, you would know that it's the anointing that woman is singing under. I mean, she sounds beautiful. There are people that operate in things but don't have the anointing to operate in it. And we want people to understand that, first of all, God will give you the anointing if you'll say yes to him. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
You are very vital and important to the kingdom of God. So you have a gift, you have a talent, but don't just present your gift and say, God, okay, here's my ability. Present your whole body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable. Somebody say reasonable.
Reasonable.
Reasonable service. That's what Romans said. It's not necessarily you just saying, here's my talent, I'm going to get on the drums, or here's my ability, I'm going to sing, or here's my ability to communicate, so I'm going to communicate to a few people. Just begin to present your whole body as a living sacrifice. And then you'll begin to see God multiply your talents and your abilities. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 25th verse says that there should be no schisms in the body, talking about the body of Christ, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Everybody is supposed to care about everybody in this church. It's unfortunate that we have people that are so narrow-minded and close-hearted and close-minded that they only want to pick out their favorites. You know, if I had braids in my hair, I may want to agree with my sister back here and Tish and these two. You know, we got something in common. I mean, we all eat dinner, we have something in common, don't we? So, but we should have the same care. And when the writer talks about this, he's not talking about just the pastor having the care, but the body of Christ having the same care one for another. You don't realize how many people may be watching you in the church. You know, some people don't realize that. I had somebody came and shared with me. They said, Ed didn't realize this while this was going on, but he said that this brother had said that he was just watching Ed. And Ed would come in just as joyous and happy, and that would make his day and change his attitude. He came in church sometimes a little down, and he would look at Ed just worshiping and praising God, and that would lift his spirits. And so you don't know what God is using you for. You don't know when you exalt your hands, who's watching you and getting inspiration from you. Are you listening to me? You are so important. You just don't realize that. You know, I remember the first day that this brother came in the church. Renard, just raise your hand. Brother Renard came in the church. I mean, the first Sunday gave his heart to the Lord. He had met Vaughn by divine appointment on the airplane. Divine appointment. Meaning God orchestrated and organized this whole meeting. They had nothing to do with it. They thought the army was just sending them somewhere. God had a divine purpose. You see, Lord help me. We think certain things are coincidental, but it's not. God is pushing buttons and making things work for your good. So God calls Renard to meet Vaughn on the airplane. Now, Vaughn had to be obedient to the Lord. He could have sat down there and said, matter of fact, you all sat right next to each other? Look at that. Two black people on the same plane. You know many black folk don't fly, so. You know that wasn't coincidental. So here's Vaughn. He had to obey the Spirit of the Lord. I'm sure the Spirit of the Lord was, go ahead. And he was saying, okay, I'll do it. Go ahead before it's too late. And so he talked with Renard and asked Renard to come to church. And Renard came to church. And that Sunday we were slamming. We were slamming. I'm sorry, some folk may get all hung up with certain terminologies, but we were slamming, getting down, grooving, jamming to the Lord. And Renard said, boy, this is ragu. I was like, yeah, a mama mia speaks to him. But he didn't know that God had divinely put him and Vaughn together for a reason. Vaughn had to be obedient and present his body a living sacrifice and begin to speak the oracles of God. And so Renard came to the Lord as a result of that. Renard may not be saved today if Vaughn had not been obedient. Just think, how many of you invited somebody that may have gotten saved because they came to church? How many? Let me see. Okay, who did you invite? Carla, who she hit your car?
She hit my car.
Carla, she's not here to. Carla hit her car by divine appointment. Oh, wait a minute. And she, being obedient to the Lord, invited her to come to church. Carla came to church, got born again. Who else? Who else said that? Who did you invite? Praise the Lord. How you doing? Good. Now, you got born again. Well, I don't know really if I'm born again. I just know I just feel good when I come to church. But you were one of them. And how did you all meet?
I knew it from before.
Oh, when you was in the clubs. But God saved my brother and brought him out. He is no longer a strip male dancer. God is using him for the glory of God. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to tease. I'm going to tell on some folks. Matter of fact, it was my usher back here that came and said, Pastor, when I was out there, and but was it an inspiration for you to see him in the church? Woo! Look at that. He is no longer, he's got another partner now. He's dancing with the Holy Ghost now. Isn't that right, brother? Glory to God. And he's keeping on his clothes. Now, who else, real fast, who else brought, who did you bring, Laura? Irma, and Irma got born again. Who else? Somebody else had their hand up. Who did you bring? The Ballard, the Mitchell. Ballard got saved, born again. Ballard and Mitchell. So you see, look how many that are here that brought somebody. And then they got saved. Who invited you, Charles? You and Melissa. You. Look at that. Denise invited them. They got born again. Who invited you, Denise?
Charles.
Who? Charles. Charles and Karen invited Denise. So look at the cycle. If it's one thing you can rest assured, if you'll pray for that person you invite to church and say, Lord, let the word minister to their heart. Because everybody that come here just don't automatically, their heart is not softened. I mean, some people come in with a critical eye, and the first thing, I may get up there and start talking, and they're making judgments. Look at them, think he's something. I didn't come here to hear about that. I don't want to know about what kind of clothes he wants. Hello. Why does he have to always talk about somebody? Always talking about people in the church. You see? So you've got to pray. Father, soften their hearts so when they come in, everybody will just swallow them up with love and just they'll feel so welcome when they come into the church. Someone told me that they came to church and they saw Lucy, how Lucy is such an inspiration to them on the door. And I said, you don't know where Lucy come from. I don't know where you come from, girl. I'm just saying. Lucy, don't tell my business. I ain't going to tell you without in the club. That's your own business. I don't know which club you went to. I just know you was out there when all those clubs were. But she began, now she's offering. She wouldn't talk. Lucy was not the talkative kind. Amen. So now she's presenting her body. A what? Amen. She's giving her gift to God, the gifts of the ministry of helps. This is a supernatural ministry that God has placed in the ministry and his church to help bring to pass the vision or the goal God gave, mind the typo, gave the pastor. We see that every member is put in the church for a purpose. Every believer has a job to do in helping to care for God's people. Caring for someone is not a mental attitude, but an action whereby you watch out for the needs and the welfare of others. Hebrews 10 and 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur, or one in the King James Version, it says provoke one another toward love and good deeds. When people are suffering, you should be there to comfort them. Say amen if it's true. Amen. When they rejoice, you should be there to rejoice with them and spur them on. Is that right?
Amen.
God never intended for any believer to sit in the pew Sunday after Sunday without offering their bodies, their gifts, and their talents for the glory of God. Not one person is meant to come and just sit. You have something to offer. You are so vital and so important that God placed something in you and he sends someone that will be looking just for a person just like you. You may not have to say anything but raise your hands and give glory to God, but God will cause that person that may be down or discouraged to look at you and begin to receive inspiration. You are vital. God is so meticulous about the gifts that he gave in the church that each person has a particular part where others will come and receive something from them. Every joint supplieth. Every single one of us supplies and gives something to the body of Christ. So that's why God's called us to the church and put us in the church. Not to come in and be amused by the choir, not to come in and be touched by someone singing, but to come in and begin to hear the word of God and take what we have, which we freely have received, freely give, and give it out to someone else. That's why I always encourage people, when you get up, when I ask you to get up and shake somebody's hand that you don't know, it is so much better to go to someone that you don't know because you make them feel welcome. They already have preconceived ideas when they come in church. They're a little apprehensive about being in church, especially when you start looking at a number of people that, you know, especially if it's large and they may not know anybody. So they're looking around and they're wondering and they're thinking about certain things. So by you just going up, hey, God bless you. My name is Minister Scott. How are you? What's your name?
I'm blessed. I'm Scott.
Good. Good. I'd like to just get with you after service. Praise the Lord. Nice show. That would make someone feel so much more comfortable. But if you hold back what you have and say, well, I mean, what do I have? I mean, I don't know these people. Get to know them. Are you listening? Get to know them. Offer yourself to somebody. The church is made stronger when you are strong in the ministry of helps. But we're weak when you don't help. Look at somebody and say, the church is weak. When you don't help. You see, this is what you normally see in the church. And I'm going to just be frank with you. You may have somebody up here moving chairs and taking them out. Somebody come in, see all the chairs up there, see one person moving and say, do you need any help? Now, is it obvious that the person needs help? Just go, brother, where are you taking them? Where are you taking them? Oh, okay, good. Well, people always, you missed the chair. Help! Amen. You see, if I had, this thing is heavy, you may not think it is. If I had to move this and I had no help, this thing is much more heavier for me by myself. Then I would have to drag it until I get it or position it where I want. But if someone just came and helped, thank you, brother, look, just lift it up, and start moving it, it becomes that much lighter. You drop it, you pay. It becomes that much lighter. So where you don't help, the church is weak. People always come into church and say, I wish they'd do something about that. Oh, man, I wish they'd get that nursery together. Oh, I hope they do something to children, for children's church. Get something for our teenagers. You get something. Amen. You know, it's a known fact. You go on your job, and if your boss always have to come to you and say, well, do this, do that, you can be rest assured you may not get promoted. But if you just start doing things and helping and doing things that you're not literally paid for.
Amen.
Because you love to work. How many of you here love to work? Thank you for being honest. Most folk are like, ah. That's why I ain't got a job today, pal. But God wants us to work. You're supposed to enjoy work. You are supposed to enjoy work. You know, I don't care what it is you do. You know, I'm sure your mothers and fathers may have told you the same thing my parents told me. If you are a janitor, you be the best janitor you can be. Now, most of you, you know, you hear that and you know it's essential. You know it's important. But the very next person that gets promoted ahead of you, you say it's favoritism, racism. Putting the brother in the back. No, well, that white brother just started doing some work in the church. Hello. Some people may say, well, you just like, I mean, you look around, you got Minister Scotty. You got the white man on the drums. You got we used to have a white bass player. He cut out on us. You just trying to get white people. No, I'm not trying to just... Look, there's one thing I learned. In the church, there's no such thing as equal opportunity. All right? There is no such thing as equal opportunity. God promotes and he places people in position. This brother's there. I'm telling you, he's full time. I'm going to tell you why he's full time. I didn't literally hire the man. He just said, I'm here to work. He got out the army and said, I'm here, I'm coming in. And I was like, do we pay him, Gary? Do we give him something? You understand? Pastor, I'm just here to serve. I'm here to work. That's why he's where he is. Oh. Look at somebody and say, boy, I'm going to be just like what the word says. Amen. You're going to have to be diligent. You want God to bless you? You're going to have to be diligent. In the Greek, the word faithful literally means to be trusted or reliable. Are you trustworthy and are you reliable? Can people trust you? Can people rely on you? Can people, if you say you'll be there at a certain time, can they bank on you being there? No. Now, I'm being very serious because you don't realize how that makes you look. You don't realize. Service, you know, people say, well, you know, I have an appointment with the pastor, 11 o'clock. You don't know. I'm still may talk to you. But that will be the last time I'll give you an appointment, especially at that time. Next time I'll make it at 11 o'clock at night. If you want to talk, you go show me how much you want to talk. Hello. Now, you just don't know. It makes you look bad. How many supervisors we have in here, sergeants or officers, you know, and you got an appointment with one of your guys and they don't show up on time? How do you feel about that, brother? It's like you will be on detail somewhere picking up some cigarette butts. Hello, somebody. Glory, glory, glory. The word faithfulness is so important. You've got to be trustworthy. You have to be reliable. You have to be reliable. People need to know that they can depend on you. When you sign your name on a dotted line for a loan, they are expecting you to pay that a certain amount of money every time. And they're lenient. They give you a grace period. But because most people are generally procrastinators, they still wait till the very last moment. Most people don't have an attitude to serve. That's why you don't have many workers in the church. You can have a very large church, but a very small core. And then the people that's around the core criticize the core only because they're not doing anything. The core is open for expansion. Come in, we need help. So when you come in, we keep expanding the circle. I think the whole church should be a core. Amen. But unfortunately, it's not like that because you have people that don't feel a part because they don't do their part. What child will go into their house, bring their friends, and say, this is my mother's kitchen, this is my mother's this is my father's that? No, they say, this is my house, this is, come on up to my room, etc. Because mama and daddy give them chores, or they clean up, they have responsibility around the house. When you come into the church, this is your house. You have responsibilities to keep your house up. So when you see stuff on the floor, you just don't walk past and say, man, I hope somebody sweep that stuff up. You get down there, oh man, God, who dropped this? I literally get upset to know somebody. Oh, and let me be very frank with you about something. We got that water fountain out there, and it provides water for those that like to drink it. Adults can be standing right there and see the children pulling cup after cup, getting a little water. I mean, just a little water. Throw it away. Get another one. Don't say jack. See paper all over the floor, the cups and everything. And the first thing they say, whose children are those? Stop them! Look at somebody and say, do your part. All right, let's get to Kings, 2 Kings. Talk about the rewards of faithfulness. Because there are rewards. God rewards those that are obedient. Believe that. And his rewards are always twice as much as you can ever ask or think. 2 Kings, the second chapter, the first verse. It says, I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, but do not speak of it. Now, Elisha was Elijah's servant. Elijah was the prophet, the man of God. Elisha was sent to serve the man of God, to bring to pass, to help bring to pass the vision that was in the heart of the prophet. And the fourth verse says, and Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went out to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Now, let me quickly say something. Why those different places? Because this was the last part of this servant's development. The last part. It was essential for him to know, not God, because God knew his heart. It was essential for him to know that he has grown to the point that wherever his leader went, he was going with him. And he was not going to allow anything to cause him to digress from that. He knew how important it was. For years, he had been with Elijah, never expected anything out of him. Most people are in relationships and they expect something out of someone. But he was with Elijah for years and did not look for anything. So God sent him those three different places and Elisha stayed with him. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm sure he knew that the Lord was going to take Elijah up. But he didn't know what God was going to do because of his faithfulness. Let's look at this seventh verse. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak. In your Bible, it may say mantle. Mantle, the word mantle or cloak is just simply a piece of material that the anointing was on. Are you listening? It was a piece of material that the anointing was on. And just briefly, in the New Testament, Paul prayed over handkerchiefs. And when people would touch those handkerchiefs and believe God, the anointing was on that handkerchief to cause that blessing or that thing to come to pass that they were expecting. So sometimes people don't realize it. When the anointing is on a man of God, I'm telling you, touch him. Yes. Grab him. That's why when Jesus was walking and ministering, a woman came up and just simply touched the hem of his garment. There was an anointing that was flowing all throughout his body. And anything that touched him, that anointing or that virtue was on it. So when she touched it, if you could see literally how it worked, soon as she touched it, it just pulled, came out of him into that her hand and into her body. And Jesus turned and said, somebody touched me. And the disciples were saying, all these people here, what do you mean somebody touched you? Everybody's touching you. No, you don't understand. Somebody's made a demand upon my faith, my ability. They've touched me. They pulled the virtue, the healing out of me. It's a tugging and a pulling. Somebody's pulling on you. Sometimes when I'm ministering, I can just sense it's like the Holy Spirit pulls me this way. Pulls me. It's like, God, you know I'm not sticking to the word. I'm not sticking to my sermon. He says, get over here. Get over here. And that's why some people can say, man, looks like every time you preach, you're preaching on me. You must watch me, my life. And you got to tell folks, I don't watch you. I don't even know where you live. But the Lord does. Look at somebody and say, God reads your mail. Hello. He knows who you are. So he's tugging, and I have to be obedient and go with him. So that mantle or that cloak was just a piece of material that the anointing was on. Oh. But let's finish up. I mean, this thing's going to get powerful. Look at this. The 8th verse. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up and struck the water. Now this is Elijah, not Elisha, but Elijah, the prophet at the time. He struck the water and divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. You thought the Red Sea was the only opening of the water, didn't you? Here it is here. He struck it with that mantle and the waters, just like the Red Sea, opened up and they went across on wet land.
Dry.
All right, you better be listening. Dry land. dry land they walked across. Miraculously, just like that. Now, mind you, 50 other prophets and men were watching them on the other side. And they saw this miracle. Okay. The ninth verse says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? He replied this, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Elisha replied, a double portion. He didn't just say, give me that spirit that's on you. He said, I want twice as much as you had. Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Greater works shall you do. Give me a double anointing. Give me a double portion of your spirit. If it was just a cup full, it became two cupfuls. Whatever anointing that was on Elijah, twice as much was on Elisha. And the Bible even records that he did twice as many miracles. Now, when he died, and I told you all this before, when he died, he was one miracle short of doing twice as many miracles. That last miracle is recorded when he was put in his grave. They lowered a dead man onto the body of Elisha. And they lowered it, and soon as that dead body touched the body of Elisha, because the anointing was on it, the man was revived. They knew what they were doing. They was, let's just lower him down and hope that this man is revived. And soon as he touched the body of that prophet, and that became the last miracle that made that scripture come to pass, twice as many. How many of you like the anointing?
Amen.
I want to inherit a double portion of your anointing, of your spirit. There was another man that had the spirit of Elijah. Who was it?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. Oh, do I only have one scholar in here? John the Baptist. Write that down if you don't know it, and go and start reading in John when you get a chance. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. Over in Luke, it's recorded, the first chapter, that he went forth in the spirit of Elijah. Now, it only says Elijah because Elijah was one of the only prophets in the Old Testament that performed many miracles. He wasn't just a man that spoke something. I mean, he was literally the greatest of all the prophets. That's why in the last, after the, when the two men come back, the Bible talks about two men coming back from the dead, and they will be slain in the streets. And those two men, one is Elijah, and who's the other one? Enoch. Are you listening? So, Elijah did not die. He did not see death, did he? He didn't die like some of us may die, or our family members may have died. He did not die. God honored this man's faith so much that God said, I'm going to honor him that he'll not see death. Here's the blessing. God honored Elisha's faithfulness so much that he said, I'm going to honor him by giving him a double portion of this anointing. And then Elisha went out after he got the mantle failed, after Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind and fiery chariots. These angels came and just took him up. And he still didn't go to the throne room where God was. He went to paradise. Nobody before the death of Jesus Christ went literally to heaven. Not one person. So God honors the faithfulness of this man and gives him what he asked for. Can you ask God when you've been faithful for something?
Yes.
You see, those that are not faithful, they can't ask. When you've been faithful, God will honor you. I don't care how bad things are. You can say like Hezekiah, the king. Isaiah came to him and he said, Hezekiah, God told me that you're going to die. You're not going to live. Get your house in order. Hezekiah, because he knew what he was, he turned his head to the wall and started crying. God, I'm not ready to go. I've been a good king, Lord. I've been a good king before you. I've honored your statutes and kept your commandments. I've led your people, Lord. I've led them into worshiping you, God. And before Isaiah can get into the middle courts, God spoke to the prophet as he was departing and leaving and said, turn around and go tell Hezekiah I've added 15 more years to his life. Why? Because God honored his faithfulness. It's a blessing, man. Faithfulness. We're living in the world where commitment means nothing. Faithfulness and loyalty. They jump out when the ship looks like it's about to sink. Hello. That's why, you know, I mean, things may be going bad for you right now. I mean, things can be going real bad for you. Yeah, to the point where you just feel like you're about to fall apart. Man, if I cultivate that relationship, hold on. I don't know when God's going to deliver, but she may be the next millionaire. And I'm going to need that person. So I better be good to her. Listen, when she's down. Y'all, see, people don't know that. They don't know how to be loyal. They just think, oh, look at him. He done messed up. She done messed up. They done messed up. Everything fault. They ain't no good. Everybody criticize them. But after a while, you start hearing, I thought the person was dead. No, man, I heard God, man. They got a business going on over there. It's a big building. It looked like a Walmart or something. And folk want to go over there and just investigate and spy. So you're the manager of the place? No, I'm the owner. Look at somebody and say, be careful how you treat somebody when they're down. Because when they get up, they go pass you by. You like to be blessed, don't you? Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. There are three things we need to notice, and I'm getting to the end of this thing, that Elisha did. First, he served Elijah for a number of years, between 10 and 20 years, he served Elijah. He was faithful. The second thing, he was faithful to the man with the vision. Faithful to the man with the vision. Third, he was eventually promoted by God. There's a scripture that says, get as much as you can. There's a scripture that says, promotion comes neither from the east or the west or the south, but from the north. It cometh from the Lord. God is the God of increase. He brings increase into your life. There is no increase that comes into your life that is not God ordained or sanctioned. Now, I don't care how many people say, well, you know, God is just doing it this way and he uses the devil sometimes. God will never use the devil. Some people may say, well, you know, God is using the devil to teach you a lesson. God will never use the devil to teach you a lesson. You belong to him. What happens is, because of your disobedience and your mischief, you fall or you walk from under the divine protection of the Lord. Yeah. And so when you walk from under that umbrella, things start falling apart for you. But God is saying, I'm over here. You're over there. Come on back over here. God never moves. We move. Glory to God. 10 years is a long time following someone around like a servant. But God knew what he was doing. Those years are what it took to mold and shape Elisha by experience into the kind of man God needed. It took God that long. And it's not that God couldn't have done it in a shorter period of time. It's because we have so many things in our hearts and in our minds that get in the way of our progress, our pride and things of that nature, that God has to sometimes start a work all over again. Sometimes when God causes us to take a step forward, we take two back. Sometimes people say, oh man, I haven't sinned all week. I guess I can afford it one sin. Now, I know what I'm saying because folks think that way. You know, hey, I've been good. I've been doing this. I've been going to church. Okay, I've not missed. Oh, man, for the last 6 weeks I've gone to church. I can afford to miss today. I can miss today. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's just like work. Okay, I'm going to work. Let me see. I got sick leave. I can miss today. That's extra money. Get your butt out there and work. We need your money. My wife liked to do that. Let me see. I've been working. Okay, I got 8 hours at all. Okay. I'm like, you sure you don't want to, I mean, you don't want to work? Is it going to take money out? I mean, will you get paid for this? Okay, good. All right. God honors our faithfulness. God uses our faithfulness. God blesses and rewards us because of our faithfulness. So you may be thinking, I've been in the church 5 years and I'm still a Sunday school teacher, or I'm still an usher. Look, God will promote you when it's time, but you will be promoted. The Bible says the diligent hand, he makes rich. But a slack hand will indulge in poverty. You want to be blessed of the Lord? Some people are blessed because of their own efforts, and they're working hard, man. They're doing 2 and 3 jobs just to try to save up some money. All you got to do is trust and believe in the Lord. God will prosper you in all that you do. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. The one important thing you can supply to your church is faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
God cannot make you faithful. He can't make you faithful. He's got a will and a plan for your life. You've got to obey that will and that plan. You must decide to be faithful and trustworthy. Here's some scriptures that talk on that subject. Proverbs 13:17, it says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Now, any supervisor knows a person that has initiative and always on the ball with things, you're just happy when you see the person. I mean, they become that relief point. I mean, they relieve you of certain pressures, and you know something's going to get done when that person's around. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, that person is trustworthy, but you've got some duds around you. You got some guys that you got to, pull out from under the truck, pull out of the barracks because they went and took a quick snooze. You got some guys that may duck around the building, smoke a couple of cigarettes real fast, right in the middle of when you really need them. I was like that before I got born again. But once I got born again, man, I'll never forget, they couldn't get me. My second MOS was a 36K. He calls it a wire dog. And we climbed poles, and I would not get up that pole. They couldn't get me up that pole. They threatened me. They said, we'll give you autograph. I'm not getting up that pole. Went home. Now, mind you, I went home, came back, saved, born again. Brown, get up the pole. Okay. I was like, what's going on with Brown, get up this pole. Oh, wow, that's a high one. Okay. Brown, get up this pole. Wow, man, that's about a 30-foot pole. Okay, I'll get up there. I didn't get promoted until I got saved. I'm telling you, they did not, don't even look at promotion. You know, like a PFC is supposed to be automatic. I was going around impersonating PFCs and lieutenants. But once I got born again, in 4 months, they just gave me 2 ranks. In less than 3 years of me being in the service, I got E5. So God promoted me because of my faithfulness. Now, I had to go to the psychiatrist because they thought something was wrong with me. You know, how do you drastically change like that? Only because the Lord came into my life. And I lost the fear of going up the pole. Oh, see, some of you still have phobias. God delivered me from going up on the pole. I went up the pole. I'll never forget, they had a 90, right at them. I mean, this thing was high. And I mean, it was, they said, bro, get up there. I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh, I was shaking. Can we get a bucket over here? Can we use a machine to get up on the pole? Lord, have mercy. God honored my prayer, and they used a bucket, and we got up. And what made it so bad, it was one little screw holding the bucket onto the thing. And I was like, my God. But God rewarded me because of my faithfulness. And he gave me favor among men. He gave me favor among men. I mean, I was known from the squadron commander all the way down. Everybody in that squadron knew me because of the way I was before I got born again. I jacked up an E7 in the field. Any E7s in here? But the Lord delivered me, Brother Mitchell. The Lord delivered me. Lieutenants would come and I would threaten them. But when God saved me, I'm telling you, any lieutenants in here? God just gave me, after I got born again and became faithful, God gave me favor. Amen. I mean, everybody wanted me to come and work for them. Everybody. So that's how come I was able to go and share and have fellowship with the lieutenant colonel. While everybody thought I was brown nosing, God had just given me favor. The general of the concern over in Germany, hey, come on over for dinner. Sure, Tom. When can we meet? Give me your address. God just gave me favor among people. And my people were saying, Brown Nolan, that's his name, Brown Nolan. I was just doing what the Lord called me to do. I became a witness and a mouthpiece for the Lord. Look at this. And I'm closing. I got to get through this. Hurry up real fast. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger. To those who send him, he refreshes the spirit of his master. Look at that. Look at the next one. Like clouds, wind, and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Ooh. The next verse, a faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not be unpunished. In your Bible, it says innocent, because he's going to do it the crooked way. Here's a testimony in Daniel 6 and 4, a testimony about Daniel. Daniel was in captivity, mind you, Babylonian captivity. All of Israel was in captivity at the time. And God gave Daniel favor among his leaders. I mean, the people that held his nation captive. And that included Daniel. But look at the blessing here. It says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They then said, these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, the only way you go find something against a person like Daniel is you've got to make up something that'll cause him or try to get him to not worship his God. And so he never bowed down to the king. If you ever did any study, Darius the king at the time, it was customary because they made a law that they would have to worship this idol. And Daniel refused to do it and listen to the king or his command. And God gave him favor, but they tricked the king into making a decree. And the king couldn't back off his decree. He enjoyed Daniel. Daniel and him had fellowship together. He even went to the mouth of the cave where they had Daniel to be bitten and killed and chewed up by the lion. And he says, the king Darius, Daniel, yes, Darius, the God that you serve, he will deliver you. Read the story. The king said it. The same one that signed the decree that anybody that disobeyed that law would have to die. But God promoted Daniel. The three Hebrew boys came under that because God saw their faithfulness and gave them honor among the kings. And Daniel just was there. You see, you got to understand, God may join you up with somebody to get you where he wants you. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. You may not realize what a blessing this ministry will be to you until you get to a point. I'm not boasting, but I want to share something with you. We were just over visiting with the Washingtons as they were going into their new home, brand new home, beautiful home. And before we prayed, as we were departing, before we prayed, he said, Pastor, and correct me if I'm wrong, brother. He said, I don't believe we would be in this house if we weren't a part of this ministry receiving the words. Is that what you said, basically? Gayla, I'm not lying to anything. That's what he said. And you feel the same way. And you know that. Because when you're around the word, it does something. I'm telling you, you can get in the church where they don't speak anything but condemnation. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You dummy. You stupid. This, you idiot. You're going to come out of there. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm going to hell. They say, how you doing? I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm going to hell. Because you're around that, and that word is getting in you that's being preached. It may be true that you may be going to hell if you're on the wrong track, but let's just teach on how you can keep from going there. Amen. Hello, somebody. You know, some people, you always hear songs, I was down and out, but God came through. Somebody get up and tell a testimony. You don't know what it's like to be down. Let's talk about what it feels like to be up. Hello, somebody. I've been living in this shack for 5 years. And God, he's going to bless me with another shack. I know it. Get out of the shack. You need to leave that house. Go up to the White House. Begin to say, hey, move over, Clinton. We're the folks sleeping in this bed. But it is time when you get around the word and it begins to feed you, man. And before you know it, you're walking out of there with a confidence. You start going on your job with a confidence. Folks start saying, look at how you doing? How are you? You used to go in there, yo, what's up? Hey, how y'all doing, man? What's happening? Now you, hey, how you doing there? Good to see you. Good to see you. They're like, what's up with them? Man, he's got a hold of the word. The word is changing him into the image of Christ. Look at Scott. Scotty came in here, and I'm just telling the testimony. I mean, striped shirt, tight, blue jeans, funky. Hello. Shoes all messed up and came in and got born again. Start hearing the word. Is it true, brother? Start here. Stand up right here, brother. Just stand up right here. Start hearing the word. Just stand there. That's all right. Start hearing the word. Look. Start hearing the word. He started hearing the word, and the word is start. Nobody went up to him, brother, get a suit. That's nobody's business. The word started getting them. Hey, look, your image can change. Man, God's going to use you. You got to be put in position to receive from God. He started saying, hey, if I want riches, I got to look like I'm rich, man. Hey, glory to God. How many, Otis, you know him. How was he? Was he messed up? Charles, you know him. All of a sudden, I'm sure, all of a sudden y'all probably saw Scotty start coming to work and start seeing him. He's talking, he's communicating, he's taking charge of things, and he's witnessing it, and he's being bold, and everybody's telling him, you expect for a shut up with that Jesus stuff, and he says, you can't make me shut up. And they're probably looking, how did this guy get so cocky? It's the word, man. This word started pumping into his spirit. Man, he became a giant. He may look little on the outside, but he was a giant. When he spoke, men listened. Oh, boy, get what I'm talking about. You're in the right place at the right time. Don't move out of position. You're in position to receive from God. You're in position. I'm the quarterback. I told you, L, 5, right. All you do, just follow the plan. Don't come up, well, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go long. The blessing ain't long. The blessing going to be 5 and right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw the ball right over there. You may be down there. Okay, God, I'm open. So what? That's not what I told you to do. So you get up there, you run, 5, right, is right there. You're in position to receive. Don't ever think God will bless you if you don't obey his command. If he says, hey, wake up and go and tell your person, go tell this person that I love her. Wake up and do it. You don't know that may be that person's last time on earth. Obey the Lord. You are the mouthpiece of God. Say, I'm the mouthpiece of God.
I'm the mouthpiece of God.
You are the vessel of the living God. God takes up residence in you. When somebody come up to you and say, where does God live? Say, you're looking at where he lives. He lives here. What's his address? Mike Brown. And wherever Mike Brown is, God is. Oh. Are we in the ministry of helps?
Amen.
We're blessing people.
Amen.
We're going to reach what number?
365.
How many tithers?
200.
When are we building our building? Let's 95. Let's get our offering ready. Also, in your bulletin, there's a thing called building fund. Can I see that real fast, brother? You know, people pledge to the building fund, but we don't have any way of tracking it. So I'm going to ask that you just, that building fund is essential. It's going